fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend, opportunity to be with family, be with the Lord. Today, we have a special guest. I'm really delighted to be able to welcome to the program, Pete Burak. Pete works with us at Renewal Ministries. He's the director of our young adult outreach, the young adult outreach called ID 916. He'll talk a little bit about that today, and hopefully he'll be with us for a few days this week to just share a variety of things I think the Lord's really put on his heart. So anyway, Pete, welcome.
Thanks. Good to be here again.
Yeah, nice to have you back. We were both up late last night at a young adult event, so we're recording early in the morning, so we hope we're on top of our game
yeah,
today.
Yeah, slap in the face a little bit, and doing some stretches, have some coffee.
Yeah. Tell our listeners just what we're doing last night.
Yeah, so last night was our annual summer barn party. Throughout the year, we do our disciples nights, which are a little bit more formal in terms of we have mass and a meal and then a talk on discipleship. And so the barn party is an opportunity for the entire community to come together and just really enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
We do start with mass because that is the highest expression of communion we can have together.
Yeah.
But then we have subs and chips and beer and wine and, you know, soda and do the whole thing. We have lawn games and dancing, and it's just a great opportunity for the whole community to come together and hang out as young people. And it was quite a turnout last night. It was our record, actually. We had over 300 people all over the state of Michigan and even a few from Ohio. So it was just a testament to the power of bringing people together, casting vision, and then also just facilitating an environment where people can have fun.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think part of the reason you end up doing and leading what you're leading is it kind of leads into what I want to talk about with you today, which is your relationship with your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
I mean, just your family life and growing up. And I think there's a lot there that has had a huge impact on you. And I want to encourage both parents and grandparents, but also encourage any young people who are listening in terms of the kind of relationship that's possible with your parents and stuff. So just share with us a little bit about what life was like growing up in your home.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew you well, but I want to hear you say it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, you know, growing up, I didn't necessarily think we were an extraordinary Catholic family. Looking back on it now, I'm actually pretty amazed at the different things my parents did.
Yeah.
That at the time just felt very normal, and this is just what Team Burak did.
Yeah.
And that's maybe the best way to start it, is we really considered ourselves a team in everything we did. And that was a term we used all the time, was Team Burak. So, you know, it was just my brother and I. He's 6 years older, and from the beginning, Team Burak went to every sporting event for either boy. Mm-hmm. Team Burak was involved in the school. Team Burak was involved in the church. Back in the day, Christ the King Parish didn't have a home, place to rest our heads. So part of Team Burak was helping set up and take down for Mass every Sunday, no matter where it was, whether it was Pease Auditorium or a gym somewhere. We were part of that. And it just spoke, I think, there are a lot of terms that could define our family life, but one of the major ones was intentionality. My parents were just very intentional about everything we did. They explained as much as they could to us why they were doing it, but they just, and I'm looking back on it, I can see it now more than ever. At the time, again, I didn't necessarily recognize it for what it was, but every discipline, every family meal, everything was planned in a healthy way, not in an overkill way, not in a restrictive way, but they had a constant communication between the two of them. And so now I'm hearing stories about, you know, Brian and I would be in bed and my parents would stay up and they loved to talk about us.
Mm-hmm.
They loved to talk about what we were doing. But a lot of what the conversation involved was, well, Peter's not listening. What are we going to do about that? Brian has a big test coming up that he's not studying for. How are we going to handle that? Just different things like that. They just approached everything, every milestone, every challenge with intentionality.
Yeah.
Combined with prayer. A tremendous amount of prayer. And that was one of my earliest memories of, particularly of my, well, both parents, but my dad would get up every morning and he would take a prayer time. And so I can remember coming out of my room and glancing over and looking into our living room, and dad would be there reading his Bible, you know, reading the Magnificat, whatever it was. And as I got older, he actually started forcing me to get up with him, you know.
Yeah.
At the time, I wasn't.
So how old were you then?
I think that started right around like sixth grade.
Okay.
And it wasn't every morning, but it was a lot of mornings, he had this uncanny ability to wake me up a minute before my alarm went off. He would claim he had no idea, but he'd walk into my room and shake me awake and say, "Pete, come on, it's time to pray." You know, I'd be totally groggy and frustrated, and I'd kind of wander into wherever he was, and we'd just pray the morning offering together and usually the Magnificat together. And so it was just like this habitual part of our day was prayer. One of the things my mom would say all the time, which used to drive me nuts, but she would always just say, "Well, what does Jesus want you to do? Go pray about it and tell me what you think Jesus wants you to do." And that particularly when it came to decision making. So if I was faced with a decision, it could be something totally simple, like should I go to the movie with my friends over here or stay home and play with Brian? Often she would parent and she would tell me what she thought I should do. But a lot of times when it was especially these type of decisions, she would just say, "Oh, go pray about it and see what Jesus wants you to do." And it always kind of irked me. It was always like, "Well, Mom, just tell me what to do, you know?" Yeah. Or like, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Yeah. But it was amazing. I just developed a habit of praying, and it like really concrete, simple prayers of, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation?" And it was amazing because she's a very spiritual woman. And so when I would come back and say, "Well, I think the Lord wants me to do this," I honestly can't think of a single example where she didn't agree with the decision. There was a unity in the spirit there. So the intentionality, consistency in prayer, and that prayer transcended, you know, certainly we prayed before meals and went to Mass every Sunday and prayed the rosary on a fairly regular basis. But there was like just a normative part of involving the Lord in things. So whether that be difficult moments, like when my grandpa died, first thing my parents did was brought us into the living room. We're all crying. And they sat us down and we prayed as a family. We prayed for him. We prayed for my grandma. We prayed for my aunts and uncles. We just prayed for the whole situation. That's kind of an extreme example. But I mean, it was just on the way to school every morning when Mom would be dropping us off or walking us to the bus stop. It was always, "All right, let's pray that the Lord bless our day today." And it just was this atmosphere of prayer that permeated our life together.
Yeah, I think just listening to you describe your life, thinking back to my own life, I'm a son of parents from the great generation who were, you know, very noble, had real faith, worked really hard, raised a big family, wonderful people, but they didn't talk about their faith with us very much. My dad used to say, "That's why we hired the nuns up at the school, you know." So they had, so we have 12 years of Catholic school just a block from my house. Yeah. And there was a lot of good elements to all that. But the difference is, as you're speaking, that I really notice is what your parents had, each of them had a relationship with Christ that was deeply integrated. They were like activated disciples, you might say, people who really were living with the Lord. And then as a couple, they knew Jesus was the son of their marriage and they were living with the Lord together. And they had a rhythm of life, of prayer, of relating, and of walking with the Lord. Like Paul says, you know, to walk by the Holy Spirit. Scripture says to walk with the Lord, and he's with us all the time, and let your heart fill your life with psalms, hymns, and inspired songs. And your family was trying to do that, and they were living it, and then drawing you guys into it, and trying to strategically figure out, okay, when should we draw the boys more deeply? What are they ready for? But that was the desire of their heart. They realized Pete and Brian belong to God.
Right.
And our mission, we love our kids, the best thing we can give them is our faith, and we're called to disciple our boys. And so we have to be intentional and purposeful about this. So I like the words you use, because I think that's exactly what I observed over the years, you know, through them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I think one of the, you know, I would hate to paint a picture that we were just the Brady Bunch or something like that with no issues and no challenges or anything, because that wasn't the way it was. It was certainly messy, and there were times when I can remember my parents fighting like cats and dogs at different points. But the key point was, and this is one of the things they instilled in us, maybe the most important thing other than the personal relationship with the Lord and praying with us for more of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that was a very active part of our life together, was prayer in the Spirit. But they taught us how to forgive and receive forgiveness and repair relationships. And that, to me, maybe is arguably the most important thing they did, because what we witnessed in them and then how they intentionally taught us was at the end of an argument, at the end of a fight, when someone had wronged the other, we actually went through a kind of a forgiveness exercise, if you will, that we were required to do so that the relationship could be put on a new ground. So what would that look like? You know, I talk back to my mom, I disobey her or whatever. When I'd known I'd messed up and she identified, like, this is the problem, you need to go to your room, and when you come out, we need to talk about this, right? So I come out of the room, and it was not enough for me to just say, "I'm sorry, Mom." Her response, if I said, "I'm sorry," she'd go, "Okay, what for?" And I have to tell her exactly what I had done. And then she'd just say, okay. And I had to say, will you forgive me? Mm-hmm. That actually expressed the words, you know? Yeah. So I say, I'm sorry, Mom, for not listening. Will you forgive me? And then she, of course, would say, yes, I forgive you. We need to work on these things. And then we would hug. And the hug was an important part of it. I had to give her a hug.
Yeah.
No matter how much, you know, no matter frustrated or anything like that. And so whether that was when my dad would discipline me, and you come home from work, the classic example, you know, wait till your father gets home. Father comes home, I'm terrified, and go through the whole exercise of discipline with him. But at the end of it, every time, was, I'm sorry, Dad, for this. Will you forgive me? Yes, son, I forgive you. I love you. Let's move on.
And there so what's the value of being so concrete and specific about that in your mind?
Yeah, well, I think it identifies what happened. I think and just expressing the words, kind of putting flesh on the forgiveness quality, brings it out of the darkness into the light. And it really eliminates the potential for growth of resentment. Or it doesn't allow it to just seep into your heart, and you don't think about it anymore, and it can just sit if you don't identify it. And also then, once the forgiveness happens, you move on.
Yeah.
You don't bring it back up.
Right.
It's kind of like, no, we've already forgiven each other.
Yeah.
We need to move on. Now, certainly there's consequences for your actions, right? So if I, you know, like when I remember stealing something from the local store, and I had to apologize to the store owner too, of course, and go through that whole exercise.
Sure.
He was totally confused by the forgiveness thing. But I had to bring it back, right? I had to bring it back. And I ended up having to pay my dad for the cost of what that was, even though I never ended up buying it. He was like, well, this is the consequence for your sin. So there's still consequences for
like
what you're
doing. Reparation.
Say, exactly. That's
that
a better word
thing.
For
so
it.
So like, it teaches you how to take responsibility for your action, like to identify, to say, I really did this. I really stole something from somebody, and it's wrong. Okay,
right.
And I have to say that it's wrong. And then I have to say that I'm sorry that it's wrong, and then be able to receive forgiveness. And so you grow up in a situation where Peter said, how many times, or whoever asked Jesus, how many times, Lord, do we forgive? 70 times, 7 times a day. Jesus said, be free in your forgiveness. So it's not a matter of your parents holding it over your head or something like that, but trying to teach you a rhythm of how to sort of give and receive forgiveness in your life, to make it a habit. And what that does is it keeps the relationships clean, you know, because it doesn't, like you say, all the simmering resentment that can happen, not talking about it, denying that something went wrong, and you start dancing around each other. And unforgiveness can really screws up relationships, and it can screw up families big time. So it's a really powerful and helpful tool.
Yeah, and it just allowed us to have a free environment in the house where we could love each other, where we could make mistakes and move on from the mistakes. And, you know,
it wasn't hanging over your head
with
like days of passive aggressive behavior. And I'm still mad at you, and nobody's talking, and you're trying to figure out, what did I do now? It's like, no, we dealt with it. It's behind us. Let's move on.
Right. Yeah. And it was never like, well, Brian did this 2 weeks ago. And if I ever said something like that, my mom would just squash it in a heartbeat, because it's like, no, that's over.
Yeah.
You know, we're moving on together as Team Burek.
No, it's a really, really good thing to learn. And I like the Team Burek metaphor too. We'll talk a little bit more. You guys were athletes. Your dad was a big time athlete and stuff. You just grew up in it. So it was a nice metaphor that worked for all of you guys.
Absolutely.
In your family. Just so our listeners can choose other metaphors.
Yeah, Troop Burek.
That's right. Anyway, friends, so I'm glad you could dial in with us today. We're going to continue our conversation with Pete tomorrow. I just think there's a lot of just concrete experience from his family life that he now is beginning in his own raising of his children, he and Kate and their family together, I think that you could really gain some encouragement from for your own life. God bless you, and have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.